What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the Retired Mosher Podcast. I am your host, James Breezewella, otherwise known as a Retired Mosher. So I want to say sorry. I know it's been a while since I've released an episode, almost a month, and I want to explain why that has happened. First and foremost, the reasoning behind my taking a break had a lot to do with the fact that I've been cultivating an entire month worth of episodes for my friends at the Horrible People's Podcast. I will plug this later on, but it's called Trash Month and it's been a whole hell of a lot of fun, and it's always a lot of fun, but being I have a full-time job, I was going to be on that podcast every week along with the other podcasts that I do, and trying to find time to do this podcast, it really came to a bottleneck where I just couldn't find time to really sit down and record this third episode. So I am sorry for those who have been asking me, for those who have been patient with me. Thank you, and I'm sorry again that this has taken such a long time. The other thing, which is what I'm going to be talking about for the first portion of this podcast, is I hurt my back. So one morning I woke up and my back was completely wrecked. This is not a random occurrence. This actually happens to me every now and again, and I'm going to explain why. Basically, I was involved in a car accident about 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. I can't recall exactly what year it was, but it was close enough that it's done something to my back. It's affected me in a very negative way. So when this car accident happened, I will jump around with some of the details. First and foremost, I hired a lawyer because of this driver that hit me. This driver was drunk, and the end result was a big medical bills, and the discovering that I now have a slipped disc in my lower vertebrae in my spine, like one of the lowest ones. I'm not a medical doctor, obviously, so I can't tell you exactly which one it is, but all I know that it's at the very bottom of the spinal cord, if you will. It's a spine, not spinal cord. Can't even talk, don't even know what the hell I'm saying. All I know is I hurt my back, spinal, just like what Mike Tyson says. Anyway, so the slipped disc is something I believe that doesn't go away, and it's affected me quite a bit in my life. And so I woke up one morning and I could barely move. It took a very long time for me to heal, and I'm still not fully healed from it. Again, this has happened to me multiple times, where once when I was working at the brewery that I brought up before in episode one, I was bending over to pick up a cardboard box and my back gave out completely. I fell to the ground, I had to be helped up, and I laid on the couch in the office at the brewery for multiple hours until I could finally muster the strength to drive home. I would end up going to a clinic to get a shot, cortisone, I believe it's called, cortisone shot. I think nurse friends, you can check me on that. I'm not entirely sure. But anyway, so I got one of those in the buttocks, jumped up and bit me right in the buttocks, and it sucked. And I healed fairly quickly from that. But then again, this was also quite a few years ago. I'm getting up there in age now, and it's become increasingly more known that it takes a lot longer to heal when you get to your mid to late 30s. So I woke up. This was 2-3 weeks ago, and my back was wrecked and I could barely move. It got so bad to the point where I had to go to the hospital. I have medical insurance, and I went to urgent care for said medical insurance at the hospital, and I could barely move. And they, even though I wanted to be the tough guy and wanted to force myself to walk at least to the check-in area, excuse me, the nurse at Kaiser and my wonderful girlfriend forced me to get into a wheelchair. Not really forced me, I was kind of willing because my back was that bad. So I was being wheeled around when I could still walk, but I really couldn't because of my back issues. And yeah, it was really bad. I got a Toradol shot in my arm, which burned like hell and it hurt. So I had a hurt back and a hurt arm. Yes, these doctors are trying to kill me. Anyway, so this is what happened. This is why it's taking me so long to record this episode. And I will get into the details of this car accident right now. So again, about 4 or 5 years ago or so, I was working for a third party exhaust distribution company. My job was a delivery driver. I would drive all over Southern California to deliver car parts to shops that ordered them. And so while at this job, it was a decent job. Like, my boss was awesome, but the job itself was whatever. It paid okay, but it helped me put myself through college, helped me put myself through community college. I was working from like 7 in the morning to like 3 at this job, and then from 3 to like 10, I was at school. So your boy was hustling. I was hustling to get my degrees, to move it along, and to really get to my career path, which is professional writing. I'm an editor now, and through this community college and the jobs that I've had to work, I've built my career the last 5 years, and I'm in a really great place right now. So that's the plus. But anyway, I was at this job and I was working full time there and going to school full time. So I was just constantly, I was just grinding. I was trying to advance my life. And going back to my boss really quick, my boss was a degenerate gambler. And I don't mean degenerate in the purely negative way. He was just a partier. He loved to drink. He loved to gamble. And I got really swept in it myself. He was a big football fan. I am a big football fan. So once he found out, we began to instantly talk about sports, mainly football. And he's a big Chargers fan. I'm a big Dolphins fan. And, you know, naturally, we got to the point where I was working for him, but then we started hanging out. So Sundays, him and his buddies would all go to this local bar by my house in Corona, and they would get absolutely blitzed. And so he invited me out, and I would go with him, and it was so much fun. And then it got to the point where I was making bets with him, and he had a bookie. And I don't know if you people know what bookies are, but if you ever make a bet with a bookie and you lose, you must pay that bookie or you will be in a heap of trouble. It's that serious. Anyway, so my boss was awesome. We would go and get hammered on Sundays watching football together, and Mondays would roll around and he would be hungover and in his office, and then I would be hungover and he would not make me do a whole lot. I would go on a few deliveries, but he would cut me some slack. It was a really cool relationship. I mean, obviously it was bad influence meeting bad influence, you know what I mean? But he made the job tolerable because he was very relaxed, and if you showed up on time and you did your work, he would let you do basically whatever you want in the confines of being not illegal or causing the company any kind of issues. I was a really good worker. I have a really hard work ethic. I always have. And so, again, I got a lot more leeway because of that. So on a Friday afternoon, it was maybe about 12:01, and I had already hustled and got a lot of what I needed to get done. And so he gave me the option to go home early. He's like, hey, you know, I don't need you to be around here anymore. You can go home. And I was like, sweet. I was very excited. It was about 2:00 and it was on a Friday. So my weekend was coming up and I was like, sweet. Like, I get off early on Friday. I'm gonna just go. So I go drive home. I am waiting to turn into my street. I got off the freeway. I go to my street, which is a very busy street in Corona called Rimpaw. Cars were constantly coming up and down that street. So cars were coming up and down the street at all hours, at all times. It was just a very, very busy, not a main street, so to speak, but a very busy street. And my house was right there. It was literally a stone's throw away from the high school that we lived next to. And so naturally, there was always a lot of cars because of the kids getting out of school and parents picking them up and that whole nine. So it was about 2:00. I leave my job in Corona to drive to my house in Corona. It's not that far. It must have been maybe about 2:15-ish, I would say. And I'm waiting to turn left into my neighborhood. I would need to turn left and then a quick left, and that's the cul-de-sac, and my house is at the top left. So I'm telling you guys, I was very close to home. I was so close to my house, I could have rolled down my window of my car and I could have hucked a rock into my backyard. That's how close I was. So I'm sitting there, I'm minding my own business. I'm not even paying attention to anything around me. Not saying I'm an oblivious driver, but just at the moment, I know I'm good. I mean, I'm just waiting to turn left. Bunch of cars are coming up the opposite side of Rimpaw. I'm waiting to turn left into my neighborhood, then make that quick left to get to my house. Out of nowhere, I get struck from behind really hard. And in any other situation, when you get hit from behind that hard, you don't really have the time to react. Most people don't know what to do. It just happens so fast. But thankfully, I had the wherewithal to realize that I just got hit by a car. So I hit the brakes as fast as I possibly can, screeching on them. So when the driver behind me hit me, I was pushed forward and then to the left. So forward and to the left put me in the lane where the opposite drivers are coming up the road. Again, thankfully, I had the wherewithal to hit the brakes as hard as I could. I want to say I even pulled the emergency brake to give it even more stopping force, so that way I didn't hit the lady that was coming up. Like, we got so close. She hit her brakes. I hit my brakes. I could see the horrified look in her face and her eyes. Like, oh my God. I could see it. That's how close we were to hitting one another. So I gather myself. I was like, what the hell? I just got hit by a car. Like, I couldn't believe what just happened. So I put the car in park, and I want to say I turned it off. I hit the brakes, and I turn the car off. So my car's there. I get out. As soon as I get out, I don't know if it was the pure adrenaline of the moment or the fact that I was injured, but I almost fell over and collapsed. But I picked myself up off the back, the trunk of my car, and then I immediately start yelling at this guy. And I'm like, at the driver, excuse me. It's a guy. There you go. So I immediately start yelling at this guy. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you? You didn't see me. I was sitting there for like 30 seconds. What the fuck is wrong with you? I'm so upset at this point because I was like, dude, I can't believe this. I just got hit by a car when I wasn't even moving. I was sitting there waiting to turn into my neighborhood for a good amount of time. So at this point, I'm screaming at the guy, and then I go stand on the opposite side of the street to obviously let cars go by that were trying to pass by. And I couldn't even tell you how fast the cops got there, but it was so fast. And I think it's because the high school kids were just about to get out of school, and they did. So they're getting out and they see the carnage, and the cops get there and the paramedics get there. The paramedic comes up to me and she's like, do you need medical attention? What happened? So I start telling her what happened. But again, I'm very angry. So I'm kind of like shouting it, unintentionally shouting. I'm not shouting at her. I'm just shouting at the situation. So she gets in my face and she like rattles me and she's like, hey, do you need medical attention? And I was like, I snapped back to reality. I was like, oh no, I'm good. Like, my house is right there. I'm fine. So I deny the medical attention. I'm standing on the opposite side of the road. The cop comes up and then starts asking me questions about what happened. And I tell him, I'm like, yeah, so I'm sitting there waiting to turn in, and all of a sudden this guy hits me out of nowhere. I was like, I was sitting there for like 30 seconds. And the cop goes, okay. And then he goes over to the opposite guy and starts getting his statement. I noticed something very weird about this guy. He's kind of like wobbling. And I'm like, I immediately think this guy's got to be drunk, right? How else would somebody have hit me from behind if I'm in idle position and I'm not moving? So the cop comes back and he's talking to me some more. And I asked him, and I was like, hey, I know you're not supposed to answer this question, officer, but is he drunk? And he was like, yeah, we can smell it on his breath, and there's cans. And I was like, oh, great. So I'm even more upset because this guy wrecked my car, and I don't even know at this point if the car drives or whatever. So I'm standing there and I hear somebody. So to turning in left, that's where the neighborhood of houses are where I lived. And then to the right of that is the high school, and directly behind that across the street where I was standing is an apartment complex. So there is a gate that butts up to the grass and the sidewalk, and then street, and then the neighborhood that I lived in. So I'm standing there and I hear someone say, hey, hey, and I turn around and it's a lady that's on the apartment side standing there. I can see her standing there through the gate. She's like, hey, hey, you're bleeding. And I look down on my left leg and it's gushing blood. And I'm like, oh, okay. She's like, I just want to let you know that you're bleeding. And I'm like, it's all good. Don't worry about it. I'm fine, right? So then my neighbor comes out. My neighbor was this older man, very sweet guy. I talked to him a few times when I would go on my runs or I would walk. We would chat each other up. And then when I would drive by, I'd wave. He was a very, very nice man. Older man, you know, retired, very, very cool guy. So he comes running out, and he was like, oh my god, you know, we heard the noise. Of course they did, because their backyard is right there on the street, like our backyard was when I got hit. So he's like, oh, I didn't realize it was you. Are you okay? And I was like, yeah, I'm fine, I'm all good. And he's like, oh my god, you're bleeding. And I was like, yeah, I know, I was just told that my leg is bleeding. And he's like, let me go get you a towel. And I was like, no, don't do that, because I need the cops to take pictures. I wasn't even entirely sure if that's what I was supposed to do, but in my head it just seemed right. So sure enough, the cop comes back over and he's got a digital camera and he starts taking pictures of me. Takes a picture of the back of my leg, which is bleeding. I had seatbelt burn on my left arm from getting pulled, and like, I was pretty banged up. And so they take the pictures, they do the whole nine, and then a tow truck comes and takes my car. They take my car and they take it to a tow yard. So I naturally, like everybody, I posted on social media and everybody's messaging and asking if I'm okay, and I said yes, I'm okay. My mom calls and she's like, why didn't you call me? And I was like, it's all good, like I'm fine, I'm banged up and I'm okay. Funny enough, one of my sister's older sister's longtime friends messages me on Snapchat. This is back when I had Snapchat, and she's like, oh my god, were you just in a car accident? And I was like, yeah, how the hell did you know that? So her niece goes to the high school that I live next to and took a video of it and then saw me in it, and so she messaged me to make sure I was okay. I was like, yeah, I'm good. So anyway, through the accident, all that on social media, I'm talking to people, I'm okay, I'm just rattled. One of my friends hits me up and she's like, hey, do you need a lawyer? And I was like, I don't know, do I need a lawyer? Like, I've never been in this situation before. So I ended up talking to her friend who was a lawyer, and I ended up hiring him for the car accident. So they deal with injury settlements and all that jazz when it comes to car accidents. So they work on what is called a lien, so they don't get paid unless they win the case. And I was like, that's fine, because I'm not trying to pay for a lawyer. But anyway, through all that, I end up getting a lawyer, and I end up taking the guy to court who, so the guy that hit me was not insured, but the car was insured through somebody else. So fast forward through all the mumbo jumbo, the legal mumbo jumbo and everything that happened, I ended up getting a decent amount of money, which put me in the car I have now. But my car that got hit was completely totaled. And through the lawyer, I had to build up my medical case. He was like, well, you got to get treatment and we have to know what happened. And I said, okay, fine. So I started going to a doctor, a chiropractor, and I did an MRI. And that's when I found out all this stuff about my back. I did 6 months of treatment for my back at the chiropractor, which included like electrodes and then getting realigned and then like all kinds of doohickeys and stuff and hot stone massages, which were awesome. But this was all the treatment that I needed to get done to show the lawyers and to show the insurance companies like this guy really injured me, which he did. So fast forward to now, like I said, my back gives out every now and again. And it really sucks when it does. But this instance, which was 2 or 3 weeks ago now, was the worst. I've had my back give out on me a few times since the accident. And each time it's been like a day or two that I'm like, I can't really move that well. And it sucks and it's painful. And then it goes away and I'm good. But this was a full week where I could barely move, which led me to go to the hospital. And again, I like to be the tough guy that goes, no, I can bear with the pain. I can bear with the pain. But it was so unbelievably excruciating that I couldn't deal with it anymore. And I had to go to the hospital and I had to get treatment. So I was stuck on my couch in one spot for a full week. Then the second week rolled around and it still wasn't improving that well. So I started taking my medication again. They gave me some anti-inflammatory and some just over-the-counter Tylenol to help with the back being messed up, and the doctor diagnosed it acute lower back pain or acute lower back strain, one of those. Either way, it sucked. It really hurt, and it was really hard for me to move and do much of anything. So I couldn't really record an episode for you guys. I was just stuck on the couch. That's the main reason why this episode has been taking me so long. It's now week 3, almost week 4. And I'm starting to feel like my normal self. There's times where my lower back is still kind of tight, but it's been okay now. So I'm doing a lot better, and I wanted to get this episode out because I want to return to my weekly schedule like I had planned, like I was doing. So again, I'm sorry everybody for having to wait for this episode, but that is life. Am I right? That's just the way it goes. And man, oh man, has so much stuff happened in this month that I just badly want to talk about. So one of those things that has happened is a huge reunion was announced, and it's not so much a tour. They are playing a few shows, but this is a really weird segue, but I'm just going to go right into it. So for some very weird, odd reason, Slayer is now coming back. What makes this announcement very weird is the fact that they've been retired for 5 years, and the general consensus was that Kerry King was completely done with Slayer. He had just reportedly said that Gary Holt was dead to him and that he hadn't talked to Tom Araya in years. Tom Araya wanted badly to step away from the band, and I get it, and he was just done with it, and that's fine. But now all of a sudden they're back. So it was kind of weird, and it was really weirdly timed because Kerry King had just announced that he had a solo project coming out, a solo album coming out. And this leads me to a tour announcement. So Lamb of God and Mastodon announced that they are doing the Ashes of Leviathan tour, where Lamb of God is going to be playing Ashes of the Wake in its entirety, and Mastodon is going to be playing Leviathan in its entirety, and Kerry King is opening, and Malevolence is also opening. It's going to be a hell of a tour, and I already got me and my girlfriend and my buddies floor tickets. We cannot wait. These are two of the best albums ever made, and the fact that we get to hear Kerry King solo stuff live, like it was a must buy. So anyway, it was very oddly timed that Slayer decided to come out of retirement right as Kerry King was announcing his solo. So Slayer announced that they were going to be playing I believe it's Welcome to Rockville, and let me see, I'm going to look it up right now. You're going to hear my typing, but you know what, it is what it is. Aftershock is one of the shows that they announced that they're going to be playing, and then I think it's Welcome to Rockville. And anyway, it's very, very weird that all of this happened. And then even more weird is a story came out where it was Tom Araya's wife that apparently begged him or harassed him to return to the stage. These are just a few shows that are happening this year. So I don't believe that Slayer is going to be fully reuniting, because Tom Araya was very adamant about not doing this anymore and wanting to spend time with his family. I mean, to be fair, these dudes were on tour constantly for like freaking 30 years. So I get it. To completely step away from it. Yeah, so I get it completely. But apparently his wife was the voice, if you will, to get them to come back out and play. Now, obviously, everybody's been calling them out, calling this a cash grab and just saying that you should have stayed retired and all that jazz. And honestly, even though I'm not necessarily thinking that this is a cash grab, I do think that they should have stayed retired. I love Slayer. I've been a Slayer fan for many, many years. So part of me is excited that they're back, but at the same time, I don't really want to go to the festivals that they're going to be at just to see them, to pay hundreds of dollars and all that. I don't know. It's just, it's a very, very weirdly timed thing. And I think it's kind of a slap in the face to Kerry King. Now, Kerry King is going to be playing with Slayer again. And again, this is very odd to me because he had just made comments that he hadn't talked to Tom Araya in forever. So I don't know if it was Tom Araya that reached out or his wife that reached out to Kerry or whoever. I have no idea. But it's just weird. It would have been better. And the first song that was released as Kerry King's, on Kerry King's solo album, he said it was a repurposed old Slayer song that never made it to another album. He repurposed it and he put it on his. And it's just very weird that this is happening. Again, I feel like it's just so oddly timed. And it kind of sucks because the first Idle Hands is the track that came out, and it's a ripper. It's fucking awesome. And he announced the band members for the solo project. So it's going to be Mark from Death Angel, Phil Demmel, who used to play with Violence and Machine Head, Hell Yeah bassist Kyle Sanders, and then drummer Paul Bostaff, who played with Slayer, Testament Forbidden, and Exodus. So it's some heavy hitters on this solo album, and they were already going to go on tour. And again, I was very excited for this. I was like, hell yeah, like I love Kerry King, like let's see what they have to offer. And the first track, like Mark of Death Angel is like the perfect singer because it's very thrashing, it's very violent, and it sounds awesome. So I was very excited. But the announcement of Slayer coming out of retirement to play shows, for me, just kind of dampens this. And I don't know, obviously it's not the case, because Kerry is playing with Slayer again, so I'm sure he's very excited to be hitting the stage with his former band members for 30 years. But again, it's so weirdly oddly timed that I honestly don't know what to think about it. I really don't know why this is happening. It just doesn't feel right. And as much as I didn't even want Slayer to retire, I understood completely why they did retire. And to me, I feel like they should have stayed retired. That's it. Slayer's back, I guess, for a few shows. It kind of reminds me of Rage Against the Machine coming back. I never got a chance to see them, even though, you know, I'm sure I've heard they were awesome live again. But they came out of retirement, they left, they came out, they left. It's silly. So, I don't know. Slayer coming back, let it go, I guess. But another huge show, another huge announcement is No Values. This is going to be a little bit more of a conversation for my next episode, which I'm planning on having my first guest, because he is a festival connoisseur and I want everybody to hear what he has to say about them. He's been doing it a lot longer than I have, especially the European festivals. Anyway, I digress. So, me and my girlfriend have gone to several of the one-day festivals, and most of them have been pretty crappy. So, we went to Sick New World in Vegas last year, which had a ton of great bands, but it was very hot. One day is just not enough to see this many bands, obviously, so there's a lot of overlap, and there's a lot of bands, especially early bands, that get to play like 15 minutes, which is nothing. It's like four songs if they're lucky. Because of the Vegas heat, the equipment was overheating, the side stage got so jacked up that it just wasn't a great time. System of a Down headlined, and it was awesome. I had such a good time seeing them. I hadn't seen them in a very long time. I think the last time I saw System of a Down live was like 2003. It was a very long time ago. So I was very happy about that, but I also didn't get to see Sisters of Mercy. I didn't get to see Cradle of Filth, and I was very upset about that fact. And it was just, the side stage was such a mess that a lot of bands, they got pushed and moved around and all that jazz. So that festival sucked. It was not a great time in the year for being out in the sun in Vegas, and it wasn't fun. Then we did the 80s ones. We did Cruel World, and I can't remember the other one, but both of them were also equally kind of stupid. So these stages are like way far apart from one another. On top of that, again, it's just overlap. You don't get to see all the bands that you want to see, and these are packed with great bands. So because of that, we swore off these one-day festivals. I was like, I just can't do this anymore. Mind you, most of them are anywhere from like $350 to like $450 and on. They're just expensive to be spending one day to see. And like, granted, you get to see a lot of great bands, but it's just not worth it to me. So I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. We're not doing this. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this punk festival in Pomona was announced. No Values. And the first band that I saw, because they're just bright right there, is the Original Misfits. I was so excited. I've never seen the Original Misfits, and they've played a few reunion shows here and there, but I never got a chance to see them. Like, they played at SoFi, Bank of California, but I never went. They played a few places. I just didn't get to go. It wasn't the right time. It didn't line up that well. And I was very upset because I'm a big Misfits fan. So going down the line, the Original Misfits, Social Distortion, which I have a Social D tattoo, so I'm a big fan. Iggy Pop, not really a Turnstile fan. I don't really know them that well, but Bad Religion, Sublime, Dillinger Escape Plan, and this band right here was also reunited, Power Trip. What the hell? So everybody was flabbergasted. So Power Trip ended up reuniting for a one-off show, and they played some songs, and nobody really knew what was going on. And the lead singer of Fugitive jumped on stage with them, or rather not jumped, but he was with them on stage being the new lead singer. For those who don't know, Power Trip is a really good like metal thrash band that was taking the world by storm, but the lead singer Riley ended up dying accidental overdose, and it was very sad for the metal community because everybody felt like this was the next band that was going to be huge, and they were already on their way. The lead singer spoke about being together and fighting the power, and he was just like, oh man, he was the man. And so everybody thought that they were done, but they're reuniting. And the Fugitive singer is now the new lead singer. So Riley's family ended up speaking out about the one-off show that happened. And there was some drama saying that they didn't really approve it and they weren't approached about it. So I don't know exactly what happened with the details of that in the background or what's going on with the family and the estate and all that. So I can't really comment on that. But I know that Power Trip is now fully back and they're gonna be at this show, which is huge. Like, this is a band I didn't really get to see. And now I get to see them finally. Granted, it's not Riley singing, but there you go. Also, the Dillinger Escape Plan is another band that broke up, but for some reason they're back. So there's a lot of moving parts going on with this festival. So the Damned, Suicidal Tendency, Vandals, Black Flag, TSOL, The Exploited, Fear, Addicts, The Dickies, Agent Orange, Adolescence, freaking Steve Ignorant is going to be playing Crass, Cro-Mags, Fishbone, The Aquabats. Like, there's so, this festival is stacked. So even though we were done with the single-day festivals, I convinced my girlfriend that we're going to go, and I bought the tickets because I was like, dude, there's so many, like 90% of this lineup I want to see. Granted, it's going to be one-day festival, so it's not going to happen that way, but you know what I mean. And the price wasn't really that bad, to be honest. Comparatively to the other one-day festivals, this one was like $215 after fees and stuff, and it comes with free parking. So honestly, that's kind of a good deal. So I got tickets, and we're going, and I'm so excited. I get to see the Original Misfits for the first time ever. I get to see Power Trip for the first time ever. I get to see Social D for the first time in years. Oh man, The Exploited, Fear, The Addicts, like The Dickies. These are all bands that I grew up listening to and seeing. I never got to see Crass, and Steve Ignorant playing Crass songs is going to be absolutely incredible. And it's even being DJed by Jello Biafra, formerly of the Dead Kennedys. So this is huge. This is a huge, like, as I talked about my music taste in the last episode, this is like what I grew up with. Obviously the punk side, not so much Power Trip and all that, the metal bands, but the punk side, these are bands that I grew up with that I've adored for many, many years, and I cannot wait to go to this show. So there was that announcement. There was an announcement that Slayer was coming back. And then one more announcement that made me so unbelievably happy is Decapitated is finally returning to the United States. So I want to give everybody a little bit of context about why this is so significant, but I will tell you that Decapitated has not played in the US for quite a long time. So they announced a huge, huge tour, and they are going to be playing with, it's going to be Decapitated, Septic Flesh, Cataclysm, and Allegiant. That is hugely stacked for death metal fans. Like, everybody was freaking out over this announcement for the simple fact that this is an amazing, amazing lineup. But Decapitated is finally playing the States for the first time in many, many years, and I will tell you why really quickly right here. So, some years ago, Decapitated was on tour. I'm only going to give you the gist of it because I don't want to misrepresent them or what happened or any of that. So basically what happened was they were on tour and they were playing the Observatory, I believe, and they were also playing in LA. And I want to say they were arrested after the Observatory show, shortly after. The band was arrested and they were being charged with sexually assaulting a female fan. Now, I will just tell you guys that it was a long, arduous process for the band, and they're all from Poland, so they were stuck here in the U.S., probably very fearful of what was going to happen to them because of this situation. But lo and behold, the situation, the charges were dropped because the person in question ended up lying about the entire situation. There was no proof of this accusation, this deeply damaging accusation. So Decapitated obviously were in no rush to come back to the States, so they have not been back in a very long time. Now they are finally back and they are playing with an insane, insane lineup. Man, dude, Septic Flesh, Cataclysm, and Allegiant, like, these are all heavy hitters that could easily and have easily soloed their own or headlined their own tours. But now they're playing together. So I am so amped about this tour. I've seen Decapitated. Me and my buddies have seen Decapitated, I don't know how many times. Like, the first time we ever saw Flesh God Apocalypse, we saw them open. Excuse me. It was Rings of Saturn and Flesh God Apocalypse open for Decapitated at the Whiskey years ago. And this is before we even knew who either of those bands were. And they were incredible when we saw them. Flesh God, seeing them for the first time, changed my life. I was like, holy shit, this symphonic, crazy death metal band is crazy. And they were awesome. They came out in their Victorian era clothing, and there was clean singing and death metal and orchestra and all that jazz and a piano player. Anyway, we've seen Decapitated quite a few times because they're just incredible live. They're one of, like, they're very old school death metal band, and, well, I wouldn't say fully old school like Cannibal Corpse, but they're old. They're an old school band. So yeah, they're finally back. This is a huge tour and I cannot wait. This so much music news. Like, I had a plan for this episode, but it kind of went out the window with all these, like, new tour announcements and bands reuniting. And I just wanted to just kind of talk about this craziness that's happened since I haven't been able to record an episode. Like, my God, people, like, Slayer is back. Power Trip is reuniting. Dillinger Escape Plan is playing No Values as well. Lamb of God and Mastodon are combining for arguably one of the best tours that's going to be in the last, like, 10 years, playing two of the best albums that have ever been made. Just so much music awesomeness is happening. So, you know, if you've never listened to any of these bands, I highly recommend them. Granted, you have to kind of like death metal to like them. But if you like death metal and you can give it a chance, give them a chance. Another thing that I've been wanting to do at the end of my episodes that I keep forgetting to do is to talk about music and talk about what I'm listening to and kind of give everybody recommendations of the music I've been listening to. Not that you're going to listen to it, not that you're going to want to give it a chance, which is fine, that's fair, that's your prerogative, but still, I want to talk a little bit about what I've been listening to. So, let me back way up. The other thing that happened during this almost four weeks, is I finally got to see Tool again. Me and my buddies, we all got together, we were rolling deep, there was like 12 of us, we all went and saw Tool play at the Toyota Arena in Ontario, and they were absolutely spectacular once again. Yes, I know that I said my back was jacked up, which it was, and I had to walk very slowly to the venue, and I had to sit down when everybody was standing up, but there was nothing that was going to stop me from seeing this band. My buddy Tony ended up giving me a ticket, and it was absolutely incredible, and I know that Maynard hates phones, and he asked us to put our crack pipes away, which I agreed to for most of it, but I had to take some videos. It had been a very long time since I'd seen them, but Tool was absolutely incredible live again. I don't think there's any other band out there that plays as clean as them with that much visuals, and it's just such a crazy experience. It really is through and through. If you've never seen Tool, even if you don't like Tool, go see them live and I guarantee it will change your mind about them. So here we go. Back to what I was saying about music recommendations this is what I've been wanting to end my episodes with. So, because I saw Tool, I was listening to a lot of Tool leading up to the show to get really amped for said show. If you've never listened to Tool, my recommendation for an album that I think might change your mind is Lateralis. Go listen to that album. It's incredible from start to finish. They do have their kind of weird tracks on it, like they do with every album, but give it a shot. Reflection is my all-time favorite Tool song. It's like a 12-minute song. They've never played it live. At least I've never seen them play it live. In the few, I think, 3 or 4 times that I've seen them. That's not a lot of times, but still, never seen them play it live, but it's an incredible song. The lyrics are very profound and very awesome. Go give it a chance. So Tool, Lateralis is one of the albums that I was spamming for quite a while because we were ready to go see them again. We were preparing to see them, and yeah, Lateralis, Tool, go listen to that album. The other album that I've been listening to a lot of, because I am planning on recording a podcast episode about it, which I will talk about a little bit later, is Rivers of Nile, Where Owls Know My Name. So this is, to me, the greatest, or one of the greatest, melodic death metal albums that have ever come out. Now, what is the difference between melodic death metal and death metal? Well, I'll tell you. Death metal is like Cannibal Corpse. It's very rough. It's very fast. It's very unrelenting. And it's just kind of like that the entire time. Melodic death metal has, as the name indicates, a lot more melody. There is a lot more. Not that Cannibal Corpse doesn't have musicianship, because those guys are unbelievably good at what they do. But melodic death metal has more of a groove to it, if you will. It has an ebb and flow that if you took out the rough vocals and you were left with the underlying melody, you'd be like, oh, okay, this is kind of cool. It's very, very beautiful in a way. So Rivers of Nile is a very good melodic death metal band. They have a very good seminal album. It's called Where Owls Know My Name. And I've been listening to that a lot. That album I will be talking about on a podcast called Hops and Notes very soon. Me and the host Danny have already discussed this. I'm sure we're both trying to find the time to record it, but that will be happening very soon. That is another album that I've been listening to a lot of. So if you've never heard of them, please go give it a listen. Give it a shot. It may not be your thing initially, but give it a shot. I will tell you this. I've listened to a lot of death metal in my years. And I will tell you, this is the very first time in my life that I ever heard death metal use the saxophone. And I'm not kidding you. It's very prevalent in the album and it's very beautiful. And to top it off, the band has a live saxophone player come out and play these songs live, and it's always such an incredible experience. Go give it a shot. Go listen to that album, please. And the other band that I've been listening to a lot of is Ni Alba Fiscaris. Ni Alba Fiscaris is a progressive death metal band. They are more so, they're very proggy, they're very melodic. There's a lot of clean vocals from the violinist who plays violin, who sings cleanly, and there's a lot of rough death metal growls, and it's very beautiful, and their songs are like ridiculously long, but they just released a new album called Exile early last year. It's an incredible album. Please go give it a listen. If you've never heard it, you've never heard of this band, go check them out. I guarantee these are three differing, well, obviously Tool's way different, but these are three very different bands that have very distinct styles. Please go give them a listen. Give it a shot. Tell me if you don't like it. I'm not going to be upset with you. Hit the socials. Hit my Instagram. Tell me that you didn't like it, or if you checked it out, let me know, and I'll give you a shout out on the next episode. Also, hit me with some recommendations too. I'm always on the search for new music. I will give everything a shot, except if it's country music. Sorry, country music fans. I don't like it. I'm never going to like it. It all sounds the same. It's lame. Sorry. But if you have anything else, okay, let me back up. I will say that I was introduced to Sturgill Simpson, who is a country singer, but he has a very unique style, and he covers Nirvana, and he covered The Promise by When in Rome, and they're both very, very good covers. Anyway, I will give it a shot. I probably won't like it if it's straight country music, but I'll give it a shot. So give me some recommendations. I will check them out, and I will let you know on the next episode. I will talk about it. I will shout you out again. Do whatever. Just hit my socials, hit the Instagram, comment, give me 3 albums, give me even 3 songs you're listening to that you can't get enough of, and I will check them out. So thank you guys so much for joining me on another episode. I'm so sorry again that it's taken me this long to record this episode and to get it out, but I promise you I will return to my weekly schedule starting this week, and also forward on. Every week I will be releasing an episode. Again, I'm sorry. I was very distracted with Trash Month, which is a month of horrible, horror movies that I selected myself, head over to the Horrible People's Network, where you can find a bunch of great podcasts. I just mentioned Hops and Notes, which I will be on very soon, is on there. The Horrible People's Podcast, which is the flagship podcast, is on there. The Horrible People's Network is their network. They produce a lot of great shows. Please go give them a listen. I am one third of the host of the NPC Gaming Podcast, which is also on there. It's me, my buddy Anthony, my buddy Alex. We talk gaming news, we make a lot of fun of Microsoft, and we just keep predicting things that keep coming true. So go give that a listen. npc.gaming.pod on Instagram. Please go listen to Trash Month on the Horrible People's Podcast, which is HORROBLE People's Podcast. You can find them on Instagram at that name, and you can find them on Spotify and iTunes and all those good places. The entire month of February were all picks that I made, and it was a whole hell of a lot of fun. Last year I did the same thing, and that ended up being their greatest month in terms of listeners, and I'm hoping this month was very lucrative for them as well. It is a lot of fun. Four movies, they're all terrible. We talk about them, we give you guys games and all kinds of good stuff. So please go give those a listen. That is why I've been taking a pause on doing this. But now with that wrapped up, I am now back fully to be having the time to be able to do this. So thank you guys very much. Once again, I am the Retired Mosher. You can follow me on Instagram at Retired Mosher Pod. I'm also on Twitter at Retired Mosh Pod, but I'm not very active on that just yet. Twitter kind of escapes me other than what I have to do for my regular day-to-day job. So I'm sorry if that's your form of communication. You can follow me on Twitter and maybe I'll follow you back. I don't know. But Instagram is where I'm going to be talking to most people. So once again, give me those music recommendations. Tell me if you listen to the music that I recommended. If you didn't like it, that's totally fine. Hit me up. Retired Mosher Pod on Instagram. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Stay metal.